prepare to experience the strongest radio allowable by law. Secrets will be revealed. Myths dispelled. From the studio gym where excuses never apply, it's Superhuman Radio with your host, Carl Lenore.
Hey, welcome back to Superhuman Radio. We've got a really interesting show for you today. But before I tell you what it's about, I'm going to play a little 19-second clip to see if you can guess. Okay, can you guess what we're going to be talking about today? No, it's not about women fighting off assailants. It's another show about grunting, and we've got my favorite gruntologist on the show today, and that's Dr. Dennis O'Connell from the Hardin-Simmons University in Abilene, Texas. How you doing, Dennis?
I'm great, Carl. Thanks a lot for having me.
How do you like that, gruntologist? You like that?
Well, I like the fact that you've used it, and I've actually used that term myself.
Have you
here,
really?
Yes.
Well, you know what? Let's recap for those people who were not following Superhuman Radio when we had you on the first time. We did a show, I want to say about a year ago, correct? It was about a year ago.
Yeah, about a year ago,
yeah. And that showed that there was a force increase when powerlifters grunted. We called it, you called it, very appropriately, vocal disinhibition.
Mm-hmm.
When powerlifters grunted, when they were lifting heavy weights, they were actually able to increase the weight that they lifted, however significant or insignificant that was at that point in time. And this and this study actually came upon the heels of a anti-grunting movement in gyms throughout the United States. Remember that?
Mm-hmm. Yes, I do. Yeah.
People were actually being thrown out of gyms for grunting while exercising. There was a gym in Chicago, Illinois, that threw a police officer out who was squatting. As I recall, he had five plates, so about 495, around 500 pounds. And as he was going through his movements into the latter portion of the his rep range, he started to grunt. And this made a lot of the patrons uneasy. They didn't like the idea that he was grunting. They went to management. Management asked him to either stop grunting or leave, and he ended up leaving the gym. Shortly thereafter, there was this anti-grunting movement in many gyms. They started to put up stupid things like no lunkheads allowed. If you grunted, you made other people feel uncomfortable. Now, in and around that time, Dr. O'Connell's group was working on a study about the effects of grunting on force production during exercise. And lo and behold, they discovered that grunting did, in fact, increase strength. It wasn't just a drama, attention-getting movement for those guys out there who want the people to look at them and go, hey, see, I'm lifting heavy weight. It really was a valuable component in the exercise regimen, correct?
Yes, exactly. And to refresh the listeners, we did two studies on the deadlift. And what we found with powerlifters is that they had a 1% improvement in a deadlift force. It was an isometric lift. Football players had a 2% increase, and control subjects, which were graduate students, had a 5% increase. So none of those, for those fans of statistics, were statistically significant. But yet, on the average, if you have a 1% increase, you know, and you're lifting 4 pounds, if you're moving 400 pounds, that may mean the difference between first and not placing in a competition. So interesting findings. And the study after that, of course, is the tennis study that we've done.
And that's all we're going to be talking about today. But not surprising that the powerlifters received the least benefit, because they are probably already at that peak threshold of strength. And that's why elite powerlifters, if they could add 5 or 10 pounds a year, that's a significant amount of weight. Now, clearly, the football players are not pushing their body to that peak level. And then the novices, yet even more so. So it stands to reason that it would work that way, that the powerlifters saw 1%, the football players saw, what, 3%, you said, and the novices 5%. It makes perfect sense to me that it works out that way.
Well, it does to me, too, because I think it's really a neurological issue that we're looking at. So, yeah, they're just not trained in that particular task.
Right. Now, the recent study that you released, where did you release this particular study? Was that a strength and conditioning conference?
No, it was actually at the American Physical Therapy Association meeting held in Baltimore this past month, in June, actually.
Okay. All right. Yeah. So let's talk about it. First of all, what was the design of the study? How many participants? What did they have to do?
Okay. We had 32 participants, 15 of whom were regular grunters, and 17 were non-grunters. It was a mixed sample of men and women. They were average 20 years of age, and they were from D2 and D3 level schools, so not D1 like Notre Dame or Iowa or Ohio State, but, you know, smaller schools, but still very good players, many of whom were hitting at about 100 miles an hour, which is kind of
wow,
a fairly good velocity.
Yeah, yeah.
And so what we did with them is we randomly assigned them to several parts of the study. One part of the study was an actual hitting part of the study where they had to do forehands and serves, and they were either assigned to grunt or not grunt, and that was a random assignment. We also had them pull on a device, a dynamometer, which measured their isometric force, and they stood in a forehand position and a serve position kind of at midpoint in that stance, and they pulled against that dynamometer. We measured their forces there. We also measured their muscle activity during those activities. And then we also measured their decibel level when they were grunting to see how many decibels they produced.
Okay. So now let's discuss your findings. What did you find? Now, also, was this kind of like did you let some people grunt and then not grunt to see what force they produced in either situation?
Yes. Everybody grunted. Everybody did three grunt conditions and three non-grunt conditions. And, of course, they all got to warm up, so they hit for 10 or 15 minutes. Some of those warm-up strokes, we asked them to grunt. Some they didn't grunt. But once they warmed up, then we brought them over to the test court. We used a calibrated radar gun that we could look at velocity. And what was most interesting to me was that no matter whether the person typically grunted or not, that their serve and their forehand velocities increased significantly when they grunted.
Okay, so now let me ask you a question.
Yeah.
Were they coached on how to grunt ahead of time? So they just told them, I want you to grunt, so the people grunted however they thought a grunt was supposed to occur.
Right, and what we asked them to do up front was, actually we asked them to provide a maximal grunt, whatever they thought that was. We measured the decibel level, and then when they were hitting, we only recorded those instances in which they got above 85% of that maximal decibel level. So we wanted to actually get, you know, a real grunt, and we wanted it to be as loud or as close to maximal as possible.
Did you find that the practice, you know, give us your loudest grunt while you're standing here auditioning, and then
right,
the actual loud grunt that they produced when they were swinging the racket, was one louder than the other?
You know, we didn't actually run any statistics on that. I can tell you that the average decibel level was 73 decibels, and that's getting up into, you know, a range that's of concern. But no, we didn't actually measure, you know, we didn't actually record that. I have to go back and look at that, Carl.
No, I was just curious if, you know, it's, you know, when someone asks you to do something, sometimes you do it and you think you're doing it as loud as you can, but then when you're
right,
actually in the moment focusing on swinging something and you're not paying attention to the grunt, for instance, you'll
right,
actually grunt louder than you thought you could. I would imagine that would be the case. I mean, when you listen to the audio clip that I played of
right,
the Venus and Serena Williams, you have to remember that was in an open air stadium and their grunts were echoing, which means
right,
that they were echoing off the seats and the patrons. So you,
right,
I mean, the amount of sound that they produce with each grunt is just astonishing when you think about
it. Yeah, it is. And, you know, when it gets to a certain decibel level, then it does, you know, it becomes an occupational concern.
How so?
How
so? How does it become an occupational concern?
Well, actually,
hearing, you mean?
Yeah, from a public health perspective, once you get up into that 80 to 90 decibel level and above, many folks would actually require ear protection if you were employed somewhere. So I think that's just an interesting aspect of this. And some of the folks that are talking about tennis on a national level are actually thinking having the unions get involved now because, you know, it could be a safety issue.
That's amazing. You know, we're going to go into a commercial break, but I want to before we go in, I want to mention that when I used to be in the security industry, I remember that manufacturers of sirens for indoor sirens would not make sirens over 80 dB because of the potential
right.
liability for damaging people's ears if they were caught inside the house while the siren was going off.
Yeah, exactly.
Interesting. I never thought about that. All right, we're talking to Dr. Dennis O'Connell about grunting and how it affects, well, performance, strength, and force production. So stay tuned. We are going to teach you more when we return. Life is a continuous journey, and Change Your Life Now gives you the tools for continuous empowerment. Change Your Life Now is a practical guide to the biological process of age reversal. It's deliberately understandable and concise, so you can employ its message immediately and begin to realize the changes within days. The reader need only provide a positive attitude, desire, and discipline, and the results are guaranteed. Visit superhumanradio.com and click the Change Your Life Now banner ad to learn more or to order your copy today. Don't wait another moment. Change your life now. Thousands of Superhuman Radio listeners already know how well GLC 2000 works at repairing joints and cartilage, and it's the best price on the market, milligram for milligram. Now GLC Direct is offering a special that my listeners can take advantage of. Buy one, get one free of any GLC 2000 product. That's right, buy one of your favorite GLC 2000 products and get one free. Capsules or raw powder. Just mention Superhuman Radio and buy one, get one free today. Call 866-452-3473 or click the GLC banner ad on superhumanradio.com. Offer limited to one per household. Are you tired of the same old pre-workout product? Would you like to catapult your body's growth and performance potential to an entirely new level? LG Science's Anadrolic State GT is the world's first kinetic amplification system. Anadrolic State GT goes beyond the pre-workout powders in functionality, adaptation, and power. Anadrolic State GT is the first of its kind, allowing users to take aggressive control in the gym with ferocious focus, explosive energy, and dominating strength. Anadrolic State GT is available at bodybuilding.com, NutriPlanet, and other fine retailers. Get your today and join the LG Sciences uprising. We all know how effective amino acid supplements are. Well, get ready to be shocked. Amino acid supplements just reached a new level of strength. Say hello to Gear. Gear is super concentrated, super potent, and so bioavailable it's equivalent to injectable amino acids. Gear is best used between meals to keep nitrogen balances tilted towards anabolism. Gear causes an increase in anabolic signaling that tells your muscles it's time to grow. Get Gear today by visiting needtobuildmuscle.net. Gear, this ain't your daddy's amino acid supplement. Selective androgen receptor modulators represent the future of hormone replacement therapy. Institutions looking to perform research depend upon the potency and authenticity of the materials they buy. That's why your institution needs to trust Chemex for their SARMS materials. Go to chemx.net today for SARMS S4 for your research project. Don't trust the success of your project to questionable sources. Trust chemx.net. That's chemx.net. Chemex.net. A company committed to truth in advertising, to science-driven product development, a company that still believes in accountability to its customers. All American EFX is that company. With a full line of performance-enhancing aids like Crealkaline EFX Pro, muscle pump amplifiers like Nitric EFX, growth and recovery enhancers like LBA Pro and LG5 Pro, and a fully tested core nutrition series, there's only one place to shop for your bodybuilding and performance supplements. Go to AAEFX.com today and see what you've been missing. That's AAEFX.com. All American EFX. We don't play games. We just help you win them. Hey, who wants to live longer? Go to superhumanradio.com today and listen to Superhuman Radio live at 1 p.m. Pacific weekdays.
This is the Superhuman Channel, where we use oxygen for the power of good.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. I just want to mention that if you're sending me emails to the onair at superhumanradio.com address, or you've been requesting free stuff like ebooks and stuff that are available on superhumanradio.com, and you have a Yahoo address. The Superhuman Radio website was hijacked by some spammers about 2 weeks ago, and we are being blocked by Yahoo right now. I'm trying to get to the bottom of it and getting it fixed. But if you've sent me an email and supplied me with a Yahoo address, and you're wondering why am I being such a jerk and not replying, I have replied, but they keep coming back. So we're trying to get to the bottom of it, and once I get it straightened out, you'll probably be able to get answers from me related to your questions. And I apologize for the difficulty. Anyway, we're talking today with Dr. Dennis O'Connell about vocal disinhibition, or as we like to call it in the gym, grunting, how it affects performance and force production. Was there a relationship between the louder grunt and the greater degree of force produced?
You know, we didn't see that, Carl.
Interesting.
Yeah, yeah.
You know,
I would say this. We were talking about decibel level, and I just had a chance to look at some notes here on the break. Our subjects generated 73 decibels, and if you look at the NIOSH website,
right,
it says that an individual can safely be exposed to 8 hours of 85 decibels, and that would be heavy traffic or a power lawnmower. That's what they identify as an approximate maximum exposure to remain safe. So it's kind of interesting because I know I watched part of Wimbledon, and I know some of those folks were grunting over 100 decibels. So
that's amazing. And you know, okay, so the audience is getting blasted with that, but the players also. I listened to, in preparation for this show, I listened to an interview that Serena is the younger sister, right?
Of the
Oh, Serena Williams did the David Letterman show, and he was asking her about grunting. And, you know, she admitted, she said, you know, she and her sister were playing this couple that were not grunting.
Right.
And she realized how loud her sister was grunting, and she remembered, she thought to herself, you know, I wonder what the distraction effect is to the
right,
to the competition when they have to listen to you grunt. Now, clearly, that is a meaningful question when you think about the decibel range that grunting is reaching.
Yes.
It has to be distracting. The, you know, peripheral and central nervous system gets blasted with that sound, and it is a blast when you think about it.
Yeah, and I think that you brought up an interesting point, because there is a psychological issue related to competition. And so, you know, somebody may be grunting and it may be a very natural thing for them to do, or they may choose to use that as a tactic when they're playing someone that they think they might intimidate or bother with the grunting. So it brings up a lot of interesting questions. And I think eventually for the tennis folks, the ruling body, the referees, and the union for the players is probably going to have to sit down and take a look at it.
Well, I don't think it's fair to restrict people from grunting. And we talked about this on the very first show that you and I did, where you know, someone is in the gym. I mean, I grunt when I deadlift, and I grunt when I squat.
Right.
But I don't grunt. I mean, I don't grunt with my first four warm up. You know, I generally do like 3 to 4 sets, graduating to my heaviest working weight, and then do 1 or 2 sets with my heaviest working weight. And generally, I resist grunting until I absolutely have to, because number one, I know that it's distracting to the other people in the gym.
Right.
And number
right.
two, before we talk about the mechanics of grunting, let's talk about the psychological effects of grunting. Very appropriately, you know, called vocal disinhibition. And I believe mm-hmm. that there is a certain amount of inhibition that comes with strength, or the
right.
the governing of strength. I think that we are very cautious as humans not to display too much of anything, including strength. And when you are able to freely grunt without concern of those around you and what they think of you, you're also able to tap into a greater degree of strength, because you are not concerned what people think about you.
Right, exactly. And that's basically what our studies have shown, is that when people are grunting, they seem to express more force. And we probably are getting an underexpression because, yeah, we're standing there collecting data. There's other people around watching. You know, it's not a private affair, as much as you'd like to make it that. In fact, the study which really propelled me to do all this work was a study entitled Factors Modifying Human Strength Expression, and it was published in 1963. So this isn't a new concept, and it's been investigated before. And, you know, and your radio show, Superhuman Strength, that's what's so exciting and interesting. What really inhibits folks from exhibiting maximal strength? Or can you do things that would enhance it? And what we're seeming to show in our studies is that, yeah, if you grunt, you will inhibit inhibitory inner neurons, those nerve endings that actually prevent us from expressing maximum strength. And we do get an increase in force production when people grunt.
Now, there's also another factor to grunting. If you force it or fake it, it doesn't, this is in my own humble opinion, my own anecdotal, myself and reffing some powerlifting events.
Right.
For anybody who's ever driven a high performance vehicle, you know when you get your gearing correct in your transmission, because there's a term called dialed in, where the car accelerates in an even a path of speed progression with the rev of the engine. There's no laboring. It's almost like it's just a smooth, everything is dialed in. There's a dialed in grunting also, I've learned. I've seen it. I've witnessed it, rather, and watched it and heard it, and I've experienced it. When the grunt occurs, and it's almost like the pressure release from that ball of air in the chest and stomach occurs with the same speed and cadence, if you will, as the movement occurs, there is a greater degree of force produced than when you force the grunt, and it's kind of like you're holding it back or you're forcing it out, and it's not in synchronization with the motion.
Yeah, I would both agree with you and disagree in a sense, and here's my explanation. When I've asked tennis players who typically grunt, you know, about that and their strokes, they'll tell me they don't even think about it. It's just a natural part of what they do. And they're very comfortable with it. That's the way they hit tennis balls. On the other hand, when we did our study, we took people who did not typically grunt. We asked them to grunt in the warm-up, and then we asked them to grunt in the study, and they showed a significant increase with minimal training, if you will. I mean, we didn't train them at all. We just asked them to, you know, do the grunts. And so, you know, was that a forced grunt? Yeah, we were asking them to do something they don't typically do, but we still saw an increase. So it may be related to the sport, Carl.
Were these men and women, or were they just men?
Yeah, they were men and women.
Did you notice a greater degree of inhibition in the women versus the men, or vice versa? In the non-grunters, when you ask them to grunt.
Yeah, typically women are a little bit or they're a little more intimidated about grunting than guys.
Did they giggle? Like, after they grunted, did they giggle like they felt uncomfortable about the whole grunting thing in general?
Yeah, and we had some of that, but again, with the warm-up experience, you know, they kind of got that out of their system. So as they were grunting, you know, as they were warming up, we told them they needed to throw in X number of grunt serves or forehands, and so they pretty much got that out of their system. But I know experimentally, I've, you know, and even in class, if I do a laboratory with grunting, yeah, it's hard to get some folks to grunt and actually produce maximum force, because they're just self-conscious about that.
And that's an example, I believe, that if someone is so inhibited, that grunting could actually or potentially take away from and distract them, because they're doing something that is just so contrary to their personality.
Sure. And so, you know, so I agree with you. Yeah, definitely.
Now let's touch on the mechanics of grunting. There's an overused term today in physical fitness, and it's core strength, which I hate. Every time I hear somebody talk about core strength, I really want to just put my finger in my mouth and throw up. But when you really think about grunting is preceded by a gasp or a large intake of air, which acts to stabilize the core of the body, for lack of better terms, so that there's a nice smooth translation between strength from the upper body and the lower body, and it has to be a fluid, because you have to be able to move, so it's got to be this fluid source of strength, and grunting serves to dynamically change the that value as you go through your motion. So you're constantly, you know, literally accommodating this motion, but maintaining that core pressure, if you will.
Right, yeah. And in a tennis serve, you know, you're basically, you know, converting a translatory motion to some type of linear motion. You're basically trying to hit that ball straight ahead, but your torso is rotating. So, yeah, I agree with you totally. You know, taking a deep breath in is a natural part of preparing for a forceful activity. People typically hold their breath. Sometimes you're doing an isometric contraction, or even you're doing a dynamic contraction like a tennis forehand. And at some point, you have to let that air out. And when that air is exhaled, you know, we get that grunt. And as you said, rightly so, you can use the term core or you can use the term spine. But basically, taking that deep breath in and holding it briefly prior to striking the ball or striking an object really does protect the spine. And in fact, if you look in the textbook from the National Strength and Conditioning Association, they actually encourage a modified Valsalva maneuver, which essentially is what's happening even in the tennis serve. People take the breath in, they hold it briefly, they perform their maximum force, and at about that time, they exhale, and we hear that as a grunt.
And the grunting actually is a method of modulating back pressure. In other words, one could say, well, I'm just going to learn how to breathe out forcefully without grunting to maintain that same pressure, but you can't. The same way that a pressure release valve on a pneumatic device must reach a maximum breaking point before it releases any pressure at all, the grunt acts the same way. It's actually resisting. You're actually forcing your body to break that valve, if you will, and the grunt is the little bursts of air being released so that back pressure remains constant. Because if you try to exhale systematically to maintain that, you wouldn't. You need that back pressure. You need that back pressure.
Yeah.
Amazing. Amazing stuff. All right. We're going to take a quick commercial break. And when we come back, I want to talk a little bit about the things that people can do to maybe enhance their ability to learn how to grunt and use that in a sports environment. Stay tuned. You're listening to Dr. Dennis O'Connell. We're talking about grunting and its effect on force production. We'll be right back. All of your favorite supplements are waiting for you at the best prices and fastest customer service at OrbitNutrition.com. Even some of the more popular supplements advertised right here on Superhuman Radio. They carry All-American EFX, LG Sciences, and Primordial Performance products at the best prices on the net. Visit OrbitNutrition.com today and check out their complete line. Give them a chance to fill your order. You won't be disappointed. OrbitNutrition.com. The best supplements in the universe are at OrbitNutrition.com. Turinabol from PrimordialPerformance.com is a Haladrol clone. Turinabol will give you up to 15 pounds of lean body mass in as little as 6 weeks. Since Turinabol does not aromatize, there's no conversion to estrogen. Turinabol takes advantage of the patented Liquivade technology to ensure the maximum delivery of this powerful anabolic agent. Users of Turinabol report increased strength and lean gains with little side effects. Get Turinabol today while supplies last at PrimordialPerformance.com. Don't wait for Turinabol to be added to the federal ban list.
The federal government is more aggressive than ever prosecuting anabolic steroid-related cases. Whether you're a physician, supplement company, or citizen, ignorance of the law is not a defense. Buying from overseas pharmacies, large numbers of patients on hormone replacement therapy, and releasing new hormone-based supplements can all be red flags to the federal government. Don't take chances. You need attorneys that have years of experience defending anabolic steroid-related cases. You need J. Clark Baird and Bill Butler. Knowledge is power. Know where you stand before the federal government comes knocking. Go to SteroidDefenseLawyers.com. That's SteroidDefenseLawyers.com. Go today and be safer tomorrow.
Thousands of Superhuman Radio listeners already know how well GLC 2000 works at repairing joints and cartilage, and it's the best price on the market, milligram for milligram. Now GLC Direct is offering a special that my listeners can take advantage of. Buy one, get one free of any GLC 2000 product. That's right, buy one of your favorite GLC 2000 products and get one free. Capsules or raw powder. Just mention Superhuman Radio and buy one, get one free today. Call 866-452-3473 or click the GLC banner ad on superhumanradio.com. Offer limited to one per household. Are you tired of the same old pre-workout product? Would you like to catapult your body's growth and performance potential to an entirely new level? LG Science's Anadrolic State GT is the world's first kinetic amplification system. Anadrolic State GT goes beyond the pre-workout powders in functionality, adaptation, and power. Anadrolic State GT is the first of its kind, allowing users to take aggressive control in the gym with ferocious focus, explosive energy, and dominating strength. Anadrolic State GT is available at bodybuilding.com, NutriPlanet, and other fine retailers. Get yours today and join the LG Sciences uprising. We all know how effective amino acid supplements are. Well, get ready to be shocked. Amino acid supplements just reached a new level of strength. Say hello to Gear. Gear is super concentrated, super potent, and so bioavailable, it's equivalent to injectable amino acids. Gear is best used between meals to keep nitrogen balances tilted towards anabolism. Gear causes an increase in anabolic signaling that tells your muscles it's time to grow. Get Gear today by visiting needtobuildmuscle.net. Gear, this ain't your daddy's amino acid supplement. Did you know you can listen to Superhuman Radio while mobile? That's right. Go to the iPhone store and download the free Shoutcast app and then search for the Superhuman channel.
This is the Superhuman channel. Evolution just got kicked up a notch.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. You know you can get lots of free stuff at superhumanradio.com. We've got some new things up there. Get a free sample of Vitargo. It's an awesome carbohydrate supplement pre- and post-workout. And obviously you can get free samples of Crealkaline and creatine. You can get free samples of Ibunex, which is a topical ibuprofen product. Free samples of Gamma O, which raises testosterone naturally. And free samples of Drive, which is a stimulant-free pre-workout supplement. So check it out. Go to superhumanradio.com. Get your free stuff, and you never pay shipping and handling when you get free stuff at Superhuman Radio. My guest today is Dr. Dennis O'Connell. We're talking about vocal disinhibition, grunting, and how it affects force production. You know, I think the first tennis player to ever really grunt was Monica Seles, wasn't it?
Yeah, I think she was. And interestingly enough, I did a radio interview on Canadian Broadcasting Corporation about 2 weeks ago, right after we did the paper, and her coach was on. And contrary to our previous discussion, he was saying, interestingly enough, that they really encourage kids not to grunt when they're at his camps, and he's encouraged some of his players to tone down their grunts. And interesting as well, the referee in a tennis match is the person that can offer some control and suggest to a player that they need to tone their grunt down or they need to not grunt. And he also brought up the issue of the unions and perhaps having to get involved with that to really discuss
it. I don't know. That's a real slippery slope, in my opinion. If grunting serves as a natural force producer,
right,
and it's natural, we're not talking about pro-hormones, steroids, we're not talking about
right,
creatine, we're not talking about any type of, you know, we're talking about it's natural to grunt. Cavemen grunted, you know what I mean, when they lifted
right,
heavy
right,
stones. So now we're
right,
talking about the human condition. And if they start to restrict people's grunting, now, obviously, I can understand teaching the children or starting the children out not grunting, because it's almost like grunting should be a more advanced technique, if you will, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But I think that restricting people from grunting is a mistake if it takes the game to a new level, if it takes any game. You know, let me ask you a question first of all. You said that
just comment on that.
Yes, please.
As a physical therapist, my response is, what I believe happens with the grunt is that essentially, as we talked about, you create a fluid ball and you protect the low back and spine. And so from a health perspective, if you're telling somebody not to grunt, and it protects their low spine if they do grunt, if their lumbar spine or their thoracic spine, then you put them at a increased risk of an injury. And so I think it's a really kind of a sticky wicket, because you just can't jump in and say don't grunt anymore, because really what you're doing, I think, is putting somebody at increased risk of an injury. So go ahead. I'm sorry.
No. I'm totally in agreement. I think anytime you restrict somebody from doing something that is naturally occurring in the body.
Right.
You know, force them to assume an unnatural position while doing an exercise or something, you put them at physical risk.
Right.
And I think grunting fits right into that. And that was my big pet peeve when gyms were saying to people, don't grunt. I was saying, you know what? You tell someone not to grunt. If I'm busy deadlifting in a gym, I'm traveling, right, and I have no choice but to train at this gym, and I'm focused more on trying not to grunt than lifting that weight, I'm probably going to blow a disc.
Right.
And that's you know, contrary to the reason I go to the gym in the first place. So
right,
I think it's a mistake. I think they're going to have to be careful. They may have to make other modifications. They may have to start telling people to wear earplugs. And if you don't wear earplugs,
yeah,
you assume your own risk of damage to your hearing.
Right. And actually, that's the simplest fix of all. You know,
How does NASCAR deal with it when people sit there for hours watching cars go around at, you know, ridiculously high decibel levels over and over again? What does NASCAR do about that?
I don't know, but I can tell you this, that the average decibel level at a stock car race is 130 decibels.
Bingo.
And the maximum exposure, which is safe, is 1 second.
Yeah, and you're sitting there at a race that's 500 laps. You're talking about, right, what, a couple hours you're sitting there.
Right, right. So and here in West Texas where I live, trap and skeet shooting is very popular. And, of course, everyone that goes to the gun range has to wear earplugs.
There you go.
So it's a very simple fix if they want to go in that direction.
Yeah, and I think that's the right way to go. If you start to try to govern these natural things, you're really tampering with something that we have no business tampering with. Let me ask you a question.
Yeah.
You said that in this study, unlike the one with powerlifters and moving heavy weights short distances, there was a,
right,
there was a significant, a statistically significant difference between the grunters and non-grunters. What was that? What was that difference? I mean, was it a percentage of force?
Yeah, we did two measurements. One was the actual strokes themselves. So with the forehand and the serve, the forehand increased 4 miles per hour, and the serve increased 4.7 miles per hour, and that was during the grunting condition, regardless of whether people were grunters or non-grunters.
Oh.
And in the isometric condition, and that's a condition in which the player pulled against a force-measuring machine, standing in a forehand or standing in a serve position. Again, in the forehand, that increased 7 pounds. And in the serve, it increased over 8 pounds. So under both the dynamic play condition, the real play condition, and in a static condition, the serve seemed to benefit the most when people were grunting.
And that leads me actually to my next question. Do you think that grunting has a greater effect when the period or the cadence of the breathing is under a greater deal of control by the subject, as opposed to, for instance, you know, MMA fighters are known to grunt when they're punching, and you know, and boxers are known to grunt when they're punching. But
right,
when you throw a flurry of punches, you're really breathing at the rate of your hands' movement. Your hands,
right,
are moving quickly, and you're trying to inhale and exhale at the rate.
As right,
I have to believe that grunting serves slightly less effectiveness when you're doing it so rapidly, as opposed,
right,
to being able to go, huh, and so that would stand to reason from what you said, that the serve seemed to be affected greater to a greater degree.
Right, right, because it's a very well-programmed activity where the person is standing at rest, is able to toss the ball, you know, whenever they wish to toss it, and then initiate the activity. Yeah, that makes a lot of sense.
So, and then obviously, if someone did want to benefit from a more rapid cadence of grunting, that would probably take a little bit more practice. They would probably actually have grunt sessions where they would practice inhaling and exhaling with a grunt at a very, very fast rate in order to become more efficient in that. And I think the inhaling portion of it would probably be the most important part, reloading the lungs, so to speak.
Sure. You got to get it in to get it out.
Yeah.
Interestingly enough, Carl, in our study, what we found was that the we measured muscle activity as well during these things. And what we found was, but when we only measured two muscles, we measured the pec major, and we looked at the external oblique. But we found that those were significantly, the activity was significantly increased in all of those muscles during the serve, while we did not get the oblique to really cooperate in the forehand. So what's interesting about our studies, and it's probably the first time it's been done, is that we have EMG data to support the fact that we had increased forces or increased velocities. So we're definitely either getting less inhibition or we're getting more recruitment or we're getting both during the grunt. So that's probably the most exciting part of what we've done.
And see, once again, because this is something natural to the human condition, I have to believe that it does both. I have to believe there's a push and a pull from grunting because it is natural. I have to believe that the disinhibition allows you to push harder while the stabilization of the grunt and the dynamic changes in internal fluidity, if you will, allows you to recruit to a greater degree more efficiently.
Well, yeah, and I think, you know, that deep breath in that increases that fluid ball in the thorax and in the abdomen, I think really stabilizes the spine and allows you to use your arm then, and you have a more stable platform to bring that arm through in a serve or in a forehand. So, yeah, I agree.
Mike Miller, who is a friend and an elite powerlifter, the first man to squat 1,224 pounds, used to tell me that he used to do ab work specifically so that he could fill his core with air. He and another guy used to place pencils on their stomachs and shoot them across the room as quickly as possible by inhaling and exhaling or exhaling and inhaling as quickly as possible to build that response and to be able to draw in as much air as possible and fill their core with air to create that fluid ball.
Right, right. Well, it is amazing. You know, as a physical therapist, one of the things we worry about are our backs. And we see in our college athletes, we see tremendously weak core musculature. I mean, it's shocking. And the kids that are injured, almost all of them have very weak cores, you know, and abdominal muscles I'm speaking of now. It's amazing. Even elite, you know, college athletes really neglect the muscles. You don't like to call the core, but they're neglecting muscles that they don't really think about. But, of course, if you don't have a strong base of support, then you're going to have a hard time in your sport activity. So
I'd like to replace the word core with column. I think that there's a column in between the upper and lower body that's made up of the spinal erector muscles, some of the hip muscles, the abdominal muscles, the obliques, and so on. I think that that's kind of like a column that just connects the upper and lower body together. I'd like to get away from the word core and start calling it column.
I can buy that.
Let's take our last break, and when we come back, I want you to describe if there's anything that people can do to help practice grunting for those people out there who aren't grunting now. So stay tuned. We're talking with Dennis O'Connell. We'll be right back. Life is a continuous journey, and Change Your Life Now gives you the tools for continuous empowerment. Change Your Life Now is a practical guide to the biological process of age reversal. It's deliberately understandable and concise, so you can employ its message immediately and begin to realize the changes within days. The reader need only provide a positive attitude, desire, and discipline, and the results are guaranteed. Visit superhumanradio.com and click the Change Your Life Now banner ad to learn more or to order your copy today. Don't wait another moment. Change your life now. All of your favorite supplements are waiting for you at the best prices and fastest customer service at OrbitNutrition.com. Even some of the more popular supplements advertised right here on Superhuman Radio. They carry All-American EFX, LG Sciences, and Primordial Performance products at the best prices on the net. Visit OrbitNutrition.com today and check out their complete line. Give them a chance to fill your order. You won't be disappointed. OrbitNutrition.com. The best supplements in the universe are at OrbitNutrition.com. Turinabol from PrimordialPerformance.com is a Haladrol clone. Turinabol will give you up to 15 pounds of lean body mass in as little as 6 weeks. Since Turinabol does not aromatize, there's no conversion to estrogen. Turinabol takes advantage of the patented Liquivade technology to ensure the maximum delivery of this powerful anabolic agent. Users of Turinabol report increased strength and lean gains with little side effects. Get Turinabol today while supplies last at PrimordialPerformance.com. Don't wait for Turinabol to be added to the federal ban list. Turinabol. All of your favorite supplements are waiting for you at the best prices and fastest customer service at OrbitNutrition.com. Even some of the more popular supplements advertised right here on Superhuman Radio. They carry All-American EFX, LG Sciences, and Primordial Performance products at the best prices on the net. Visit OrbitNutrition.com today and check out their complete line. Give them a chance to fill your order. You won't be disappointed. OrbitNutrition.com. The best supplements in the universe are at OrbitNutrition.com. Are you tired of the same old pre-workout product? Would you like to catapult your body's growth and performance potential to an entirely new level? LG Sciences Anadrolic State GT is the world's first kinetic amplification system. Anadrolic State GT goes beyond the pre-workout powders in functionality, adaptation, and power. Anadrolic State GT is the first of its kind, allowing users to take aggressive control in the gym with ferocious focus, explosive energy, and dominating strength. Anadrolic State GT is available at bodybuilding.com, NutriPlanet, and other fine retailers. Get your today and join the LG Sciences Uprising, a company committed to truth in advertising, to science-driven product development, a company that still believes in accountability to its customers. All-American EFX is that company. With a full line of performance-enhancing aids like Crealkaline EFX Pro, muscle pump amplifiers like Nitrix EFX, growth and recovery enhancers like LBA Pro and LG 5 Pro, and a fully tested core nutrition series, there's only one place to shop for your bodybuilding and performance supplements. Go to AAEFX.com today and see what you've been missing. That's AAEFX.com. All American EFX. We don't play games. We just help you win them. Hey, did you know you could listen to Superhuman Radio while mobile? Go to the BlackBerry store and download the Radio B app. Go to Shoutcast.com and search for the Superhuman channel and get started today.
Spit that out right now. This is the Superhuman channel.
Rick James knew how to grunt. We're talking today with Dr. Dennis O'Connell about vocal disinhibition. Clearly, if you are a tennis player, you need to be grunting, contrary to what you may think. And probably in a variety of sports. I have to believe, are there many golfers who grunt, or is that considered poor etiquette on the golf course?
Yeah, I'm sure it's considered poor etiquette.
But I got to believe grunting when you're golfing would also serve some value.
Yeah, I think grunting can serve a purpose anytime anyone is asked to do a maximal exertion. Of course, you have to deal with the rules of the game and different, agencies that oversee those activities. But yeah, from my perspective, if it's a natural phenomenon that someone is producing a grunt, it's very likely to actually increase their force production.
I'm going to start asking golfers that I know. I lived in Louisville for 22 years, and so obviously it's a very big golf community there, and I have a lot of friends who golf. I never liked golfing because I kind of feel like it's an exercise in excess. All of that land for tiny little holes and tiny little balls just seems excessive to me. But those who like to golf, I'm going to start asking friends of mine if they are compelled to grunt but don't because of the etiquette, that you don't want to grunt,
right.
You don't want to distract anybody else. It's supposed to be a refined sport. Because if you could,
right.
You could add 15 yards to your drive because you
right.
grunt, that's significant. I mean, people buy expensive clubs to add 15, 20 yards to a drive.
Right. Well, the problem with that is on the next green when the person is setting up for a putt. And if you're just, if you're grunting on your tee shot and he's trying to putt, that could present a problem. But
I know.
Yeah.
But I mean, but here we go again. We're talking about something that's completely natural,
right.
Like coughing or sneezing. Surely you would not deny somebody a sneeze to, because it's a natural occurrence, and grunting seems to be natural too. And then, you look at so many other sports too that would benefit from grunting, I have a feeling, but it's not being promoted. Okay, so let's talk about this for a second. People go out of their way to buy creatine, and they buy all sorts of supplements, special gloves, special this, that, just to add 5%, 2%, 10% performance to their sport, when clearly grunting has the potential to do that for some sports. So for those who are out there now who are not grunting for whatever reason, is it as easy as just starting to grunt, like practicing at home first and getting comfortable with your grunt and then taking it to your sport and trying it with your sport?
You know, I hate to say yes, because that will ruin my whole infomercial that I've planned.
That you're going to sell the grunt?
A whole industry. I have a cottage industry planned.
But, that's funny.
But the data that we've collected kind of shows that. You know, with 5% increase in graduate students who didn't typically weightlift, and in these tennis players who didn't typically grunt, you know, we saw increases. So it may be as simple as pay attention to, you know, your breathing during your activity, and then consider consider trying to grunt, see if that has any beneficial effect. You know, the thing that we didn't look at was accuracy in our tennis game, so in our tennis study. Right. So, for example, they had to hit the ball back in the direction of the radar gun, but we really weren't paying a tremendous attention to where the ball was landing. Within the court. I mean, it was landing in the court, but, you know, was it landing where somebody wanted it to land? So I think there's more to it than just increasing velocity. You know, you have to increase velocity, and you also have to maintain accuracy. So, yeah, we can see increased force production, but is the person going to have the ability to win the game by being accurate?
Yeah, great. If it impairs control.
Right.
But then again, Even if it does impair control, I have to believe that once you start practicing and making accommodations and adjustments for the grunted performance of that act, that you can get the accuracy back into the game. And do pitchers grunt? Like professional baseball player pitchers?
Yeah, many pitchers definitely exhale loudly. And I don't know if we'd call it a grunt or not, but yeah, you will hear, especially if they're throwing at maximal velocity. You'll hear them exhale and have a grunt of sorts.
Yeah, you know, there's I know in martial arts, and I mean I took martial arts when I was very very young. I took Taekwondo, which everybody takes when they're a kid. You know, you think you're going to learn how to be Bruce Lee, and it ends up being more of a ballet than anything else. But I remember that we practiced that breathing. You know, when you would push out, and you would kind of have this long, arduous grunt, and then breathe in through your nose. And so it's clear that they do that. To increase force, but also increase the rigidity of the body to take a blow while you're moving through motions and so on. So clearly there's a value in grunting for force production that has been out there for a long time, but no one has really looked at it to say, yeah, it really works, like you guys
did. Right. Well, what I find is interesting, too, in the rehabilitative setting, you know, we often work on people's ability to inhale air and to exhale air. And there's inspiratory and there's expiratory muscle training, for example, that you can provide resistance to airflow on inspiration and expiration. The trick being we want to get more air into the person so they can ventilate and then oxygenate. And so, yeah, when you talk about training, you definitely could train the thorax or you could train your ability to inhale more air, which would allow you theoretically more stability at the spine. And then, of course, you have to exhale the air. So, you know, grunting could be a natural part of that exhalation process.
I just thought of two other components that grunting could also be providing here.
Mm-hmm.
Are you getting feedback all of a sudden?
No, I'm good.
Okay.
No, I'm good.
The first thing I thought of when you were just talking was Lamaze. You know, breathing has the ability to attenuate pain. And when you talk about, you know, being a professional athlete, there's a certain pain threshold to exerting your body over and over again for hours on end in a sport that grunting could potentially momentarily kind of attenuate that pain as you deliver whatever it is you're delivering, the throw, the pitch, the, you know, the hitting the ball and so on. That was the one thing that came to mind when we think about Lamaze. The other thing that comes to mind is that back pressure, but that controlled release of air probably has an effect on the lining of the lungs in expanding the alveoli to absorb more oxygen, you know, because we know that the million breath hold response, like when we submerge ourselves in underwater or when you simply hold your breath, has the ability to expand vascular density dramatically, open up pathways that generally aren't opened wide so that oxygen can get everywhere. And then that back pressure pushing air against the lining of the lungs probably allows for a greater degree of absorption of oxygen in that moment of time.
Well, very well possible. And, you know, the lungs, of course, are connected directly to the thoracic cage through two membranes. So, yeah, I mean, if you're expanding the rib cage, you're going to expand the lungs.
Right.
So, yeah, it's and if you do that, then you have the increased ability to oxygenate. So, yeah. Yeah, learning how to breathe in and breathe out very deeply is certainly beneficial to almost every athlete. And, of course, working at near maximum, whether it's aerobic or anaerobic, is going to cause you to have to expand your chest, you know, to actually do that activity. So, yeah, I would say if people really want to improve, their force of velocity, you know, if they can breathe deeply while training, so they're going to have to train near maximum at certain periods of time. And naturally, for most people, if you're breathing near maximum and you're doing forceful contractions, you're going to end up grunting.
During World War II, there was an old saying when the guys would get settled into their foxholes and the commander would yell out, "Smoke if you got them." You know, tell the guys to light up their cigarettes and smoke if they have them.
Right.
I'd like a new saying to start traveling around the gyms and the clubs and so on and so forth. Grunt if you gotta. Instead of smoke if you gotta, I want some people to start saying grunt if you gotta. Maybe I'll even have a T-shirt made that says grunt if you gotta.
I like it.
Because I think that people need to start paying attention to grunting as a form of scientific breathing to enhance performance.
Well, and we've shown that it does.
Yeah, I mean, you guys have proved it. It's no longer, you know, well, I think it does. It's like it clearly does, both in powerlifters, you know, weightlifting, as well as these types of performance athletics like tennis and probably golf. If we can get Tiger Woods to start grunting and hitting that ball 40 yards further, we can start a real trend. Tiger, if you're out there, man, we need you to step up and help us out here, okay?
Exactly.
Hey, listen, Dennis, so where's the next study coming?
Well, I think you've piqued my curiosity, and so I think what we may look at next is we may actually look at every breath that someone is taking. And how that breathing changes while they're grunting or not grunting.
When the cadence gets so fast that the grunt has no longer any effect on producing additional force.
Right.
Yeah, and that would be interesting to find out, because I gotta believe that MMA fighters and guys who are doing rapid stuff like boxers could benefit from that study.
Right.
Well, there you go, Dennis. We've got our next interview set up already.
All right, Carl, I have to get on that.
Uh-huh. Listen, Dennis, as always, thank you so much for coming on Superhuman Radio and talk about this. We're having fun with it and laughing, but this is really important stuff for those out there who want to increase performance a couple percent without having to go out and buy a supplement. Here it is. Learn to grunt.
There you go. Yeah.
Learn to grunt.
I wish I could make money on it.
We can, Dennis. We have to. You know what we have to do? We have to come up with a scientific protocol for making the grunt the most efficient, and then we can do it. I want to be involved in that, okay?
Okay.
All right. Listen, Dennis, thanks for being on Superhuman Radio today.
Thank you, Carl.
And to all of you out there, thanks for listening. And remember, grunt if you gotta. Don't let anybody stop you from grunting when you're in the gym. We'll see you tomorrow.